Once again, it is Thursday. That means it's crossover week here at Locked On Eagles and Locked On Jaguars. We are going to take you through the interesting matchup between the former Philadelphia Eagles head coach, Super Bowl winning head coach Doug Peterson, leading the Jaguars into Lincoln Financial Field this Sunday. All that and more coming up here on Crossover Thursday at the Locked On Podcast Network. All right, everybody, welcome on in to another edition of Crossover Thursday. This one only happens every 4 years, and it was 4 years, 4 years ago I started at Locked On, and I'm happy to be with our friend from Locked On Jaguars, Tony Wiggins. I'm Gino Camilleri from Locked On Eagles. Wig, how's it going, my man? Things got to be feeling good down there in Jacksonville.
Feeling good. It feels like the Jaguars are, no pun intended, taking the league by storm. And while we're saying that, there's a storm brewing here in the state of Florida right now. So, it's a breath of fresh air. Somebody asked me the other day, say, is it more fun when the team is playing well? Not particularly. It's kind of fun when they're not playing well to do these shows, because it's like material that writes itself. But what is fun and what is refreshing is to see the fans leave the games happy. The sports bar is full of people that are happy. Folks are waving to you on Monday morning, as opposed to, you know, being all upset and, you know, no finger pointing and no infighting amongst the team and the management. And we're not talking draft for the next year after 3 weeks of the season. They're actually talking about possibly playoffs. So that much has been really, really fun.
And it's good to see that we're going to get another good test this week. The 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles taking on the 2-1 Jaguars, coming off of a Chargers game where they really, like you said, took the league by storm. I want to start with the biggest storyline. We obviously know who's coming back to Lincoln Financial Field. The guy's a bronze statue out front. Doug Peterson, what has he done just in 3 weeks? What has been his main talking point? And has he stood by that so far into his coaching tenure?
Yeah, that's a good question. You guys are extremely familiar with Doug Peterson. One of his talking points is what he actually doesn't have to say. And what that is he has a Lombardi trophy. And when you have that in your repertoire, you walk a certain way, you walk into a room, and the first thing you think of is you go, there's a Super Bowl champion right there. So when you have that, you have a certain cachet about you that allows you to have everyone hanging on all of your words, to say things, and they believe you. There's been a lot of things said here in the past by a lot of different people, particularly the last year, where it sounded good and it sounded big, but it never came into fruition because that person did not know how to make it manifest in the victory. So it's the credibility that he has and the fact that he came in and he knew that this team was a little bit fragile in its psyche, and he handled it the right way. Didn't come in as a bully. He came in and he earned their trust. And now they work really hard during the week and they respond to everything he asked them to do. And what you see is on the field, everyone talks about his play calling, but he said the other day, those plays don't work if those guys can't execute and don't have confidence. So there's a lot of work that's going on during the week that when they get on the field, it's just demonstrated performance of who they are and what they've been working on the rest of the days of the week.
I step back and I look at the situation in Jacksonville, and I find it very similar to when Chip Kelly ended up leaving Philadelphia, where you're in this tumultuous situation. And who do you bring in? You bring in an even-keeled guy who has a good demeanor about him, has played around high-quality people. I mean, he sat, not high-quality people in terms of who he is off the field, but Brett Favre was a good football player, and he learned what it takes to win as a player and as a coach. And I see very similar mindsets between Nick Sirianni and Doug. We knew in Philadelphia he was a player's coach. He would get those guys to respond even when your back is against the wall. Nick Sirianni has spoken a lot of those same things, and they have brought in a lot of talent on both sides this offseason. I want to get into just that. How has the talent that you've brought in, the guys like Christian Kirk, has Doug put them in a position to succeed? Because Nick Sirianni has said that time and time again, that's how he wins as a coach, and I firmly believe it from what I've seen. But Doug, he goes into that situation with the cons wanting to get a winning football team out there. They spend all this money, and for once it looks like the Jaguars, they won free agency with what they have done so far. And I just want to hear your take on that.
Well, my take on it is that's one thing. It jives and goes along with Trent Baalke, the GM. And that's shocking to hear me say that. Trent Baalke is a traits guy. He loves, that's why Trayvon Walker was the number one pick. He's a traits guy. And when you watch the tape, I know Brian Baldinger put out a tape this week. It doesn't show up in the stats, everything that kid does, until you get somebody to break it down. He plays with violence. He's long. He's lean. So because of that, and they go for traits, what they do is they just get the talent in the building, and then they fit their scheme around the talent, as opposed to going out and looking for certain guys that fit that scheme and trying to sometimes fit a square peg into a round hole. Everyone on this team, it seems like the offense and things that they ask them to do are catered around their strengths. So I think that that's a big deal too. And we saw that in Philadelphia with him. And I will admit we have seen that with Nick Sirianni, because I was going to ask you about Nick Sirianni. And the thing is his history as a wide receivers coach in places like San Diego before they became the Chargers and in Kansas City, those always have been teams where they got a lot of production out of those positions, and everything was catered around the strength of those guys. Mm-hmm. So even though you guys lost Doug, and I was telling this to somebody yesterday I did a podcast with in Philly, I said, even though they lost Doug and the fans weren't happy about it, to be in this position where they are right now, they've sort of recovered pretty well considering the fact that they let a really good coach go out of the door. And I want to hear your opinion on that.
I am right behind you on that, because you look at that situation, and we'll talk about the matchups when we come back after the break, but you look at what happened in Philadelphia. Doug was tied to Carson Wentz, and Jeffrey Lurie was tied to Howie Roseman. Did I want to see Doug Peterson go? Absolutely not. He was in a tumultuous situation year after year after year, even in the Super Bowl year. You're without Jason Peters at left tackle. You lose Darren Sproles. You lose all of these guys, and you take down the best quarterback of all time with a backup quarterback. And then in 18, you get this stretch at the end of the season, which puts you into the playoffs. Same with 19. And now you're looking at Nick Sirianni. It kind of mirrors that last 2 years of Doug when he made the playoffs prior to 2020, which we know was a disaster. But Nick Sirianni starts 2-5, has been in that situation prior in Indianapolis where they got out to a horrendous start a few years ago. I know you remember that, where they end up going on this long stretch down the end of the season and winning games. Now the thing with Nick was, can they start hot like Doug Peterson's teams used to do? And can they do it on a continuous basis? Because that's what Doug Peterson is. I say he's a pillar of continuity. He is going to keep things even keeled. He is going to keep the boat afloat, and he is going to make guys believe in themselves when they might not believe in them. And you look at the season, I think back to Nelson Agholor on your point in terms of wide receivers. In the Super Bowl year, he had the best season of his career. And why is it? They put around all of this talent into that offensive pool in terms of coaches, and they've taken that same strategy with Nick now. And you really see just the guys around him, quarterbacks coach Brian Johnson, wide receiver coach Aaron Moore, had the best offensive line coach in football, and Jeff Stoutland. You have to be surrounded by smart individuals. You can't just do it by yourself in the NFL. It's an 11-man game. It's a 53-man roster. And you look at how deep some of these staffs are. There's a reason you have to do it. And Doug, he will surround himself by guys who are just in the similar mindset as him to get the best out of their matchups week in and week out. And that's what we're going to talk about coming back after the break. But Tony has a message from our friends over at the official sports book of the Lockdown Podcast Network, Bet Online.
That's right, man. Bet Online is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. I know most people thought Cooper Rush wasn't going to get it done, but I bet if you'd have looked at BetOnline and found some of the analytics and metrics, you probably would have won you some money the other night. Because it's the fastest and easiest way to check on all your favorite games and events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more, because BetOnline is where the game starts. Now we're going to start segment two, but I have to let you know that today's episode of Locked On Crossover between the Jaguars and Eagles is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their prize pick projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match of up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com. Promo code is Locked On. Ready to do some matchups, brother?
Yes, sir. I look at this game, and looking back to the London game a few years ago, the talent that's on the board and going to be on the field Sunday, it is a high-profile matchup, man. You look, let's start at the quarterback position. Two guys that had iffy seasons in their first-year starters, really figuring it out right now. And you look at the future. We always have had this conversation for years. What happens when Tom's gone? What happens when Aaron's gone? The future looks pretty bright, and I think it starts through these two. You look at what Jalen Hurts has done in his evolution. I want to talk about Trevor Lawrence because it seems, like you had said in the first segment, Doug Peterson, he's fitting a square peg into a square hole with Trevor Lawrence this year, something that they couldn't get last year. It's got to feel good being a Jaguars fan, seeing that high pick pay off.
Yeah, it is. And what you see is a coach who understands it because, as you said, playing under Andy Reid, coaching under Andy Reid, being around guys over the years, McNabb and all of these guys that knew how to get it done, there was no doubt in my mind that he was going to be able to extract the best. He won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, so he was going to be able to extract the best out of Trevor Lawrence. So it's not just what he's pulled out. It's what he's invested into him. And what he has invested in, he has Press Taylor, who's always been there around him, helping him coordinate the offense. He has Mike McCoy, who's a former NFL head coach, as just the quarterback's coach for Trevor. And I don't say just because, like, it's not a big deal. But that's a lot of insulation and a lot of ears and eyes on a guy who's just – they just want him to play football and get better and improve. It's not like they're just happy to have him here and is going to put him all on the billboards and just going to be happy to have Trevor here to sell tickets. No, they're really investing all of those things you have to do into a young quarterback. Here's the analogy that I keep using. You hit a lottery ticket, right? And you win all of the you win the Powerball or whatever. So you have the one guy that goes and buys a lottery shirt with all the flowers on it and jet sets around the world, and he's broke in 2 years, right? Then you have another guy that hires a financial advisor, hires a lawyer. He shelters his money. He gets all of the people that understand money. So Trevor was the lottery ticket. So what do? You become judicious in how you use. You want it to last for 20 years, and you want it to change your franchise. And this generational player should have a generational impact, not just for 2 or 3 years. So I think they've done it the right way. They didn't start that way last year with Urban Meyer. They have started that way this year with Doug Peterson. So I think it's what you invest in him, which is what you're going to be able to divest out of him over the next 20 years.
I think that's a great way to put it. And I see Jalen Hurts kind of that same way. I always say that second round quarterbacks, you're not drafting them to be the guy, but if they are the guy, it's a benefit because they're not the top guy like a Trevor Lawrence. He was a guy who he had question marks if he could evolve his accuracy, if his arm was strong enough to get down the field, and they bring him in behind Carson Wentz. So two completely different avenues, but the one thing that is the same is bet on traits. Bet on guys that are smart at football. Bet on guys that are leaders, not just on the field, but in the community. And I think you see that from both of these individuals. And they run through the supporting cast around them because you have to have strong weapons. What has been the biggest surprise for you? I know Christian Kirk, of course, you sign him to this big money deal. He's going to be the number one target. What has been that biggest, okay, I didn't see that coming, but I'm happy that that happened on offense?
Zay Jones. And yeah. Zay Jones is one, and the right tackle, Jawan Taylor, playing lights out and looking like an all-pro. He's dedicated the season to his father, who he lost in January. And he has been tremendous. But I expected Kirk to be good because I thought he was good in Arizona. Mm-hmm. He was a 17-yard crossing pattern away from having 1,000 yards last year, one catch. Mm-hmm. I think when people see the 983 yards, If you add 17 yards to it, and he has 1,000, then everybody, oh, he's a 1,000-yard receiver, right? So Zay Jones has been the one, because when they signed him, they gave him like $30 million over like 4 years. And I was like, what? And all of a sudden, I go to training camp, and I said he's having the best camp of any receiver I've seen around here since Jimmy Smith. Now, that doesn't mean a lot because we haven't had a lot of great receivers since then. But he showed the other day, and while it was 10 catches for only 75 yards, it was a touchdown, and I bet you half of those 10 catches were for first downs. And that's what you need. You need to move the ball. Third and three, send him in motion, turn, throw a quick pass. He gets 4 yards. That stuff is huge because you know what? It keeps possessions going, and it keeps your defense off the field, and it tires the other team out. The Jaguars had the ball for 38 minutes and 21 seconds against the Chargers. That's a winning formula for football, and they won 38-10. So it's like a point per minute that they have possession of the ball. And I think that's huge. You know, it's situational football, and only things a guy like Doug would know, how to win games, the way a boxer knows how to win rounds by throwing body punches. If you know your head on the scorecard, just stick that jab out there and just win the round and go sit down. You don't have to be a hero. And I think that's the way they're playing, and that's why you see a big difference in the results.
I think that's a great way to put it, how Floyd Mayweather, he's not the guy that's knocking guys out in the first, second round. He's going to take you the distance, and he knows how to capitalize in winning situations. And you look at the time of possession for both of these teams right now. The Philadelphia Eagles have manufactured 10, 11, 12, 13 play drives, and that's allowed their defense to stay off of the field. But with the way that both of these defenses are performing, what is the biggest X and O nightmare that you have going up against the Philadelphia Eagles defense coming off of last week?
Goddard guarding the tight end because A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith put so much pressure on the receivers that they forget about Dallas Goddard, who'll do exactly what I just said, get to the sticks and keep getting first downs, sneak into the middle of the field, down the seam. He'll go out into the flat and be a safety valve. That and the pass rush extended itself too much beyond Jalen Hurts' armpits and giving him alleys to run the football and also create short down and distance situations and convert third downs. Now, that's a lot, but those are two really, really big things. And that's why I think the key matchup for me is the corners. If the corners can hold their own and give the edge rushers the time to get where they need to be and force Jalen to play from the pocket, I think the Jaguars can do okay. What about you? What's the biggest matchup for you guys?
I look at the youth on the defensive line for Jacksonville right now. Both teams have invested in a similar way in terms of you invest from the core and you work outside. And Doug Peterson has seen that offensive line, defensive line pays off. Now you bring in Trayvon Walker. You already have a deep group there as well. I am just worried about how the youth and the explosion is going to give fits on the outside to these Eagles pass rushers, because it's kind of a precursor to what we'll see in Micah Parsons within a few weeks. Because I look at Trayvon Walker, you're going to be dealing with a player who's just explosive. How does Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson hold up against that? And I also look at the corners, the way they're playing, they're shutting down. I mean, Justin Herbert, Mike Williams was even in that game last week. So can the Eagles wide receivers maintain consistency against an improved secondary where we have seen three good games? But the one question Lou and I always have for the offense, can Jalen Hurts remain consistent? If you can get to him early and often with that four down pass rush, that's an area where we have to see improve with him as well. So when he's tested, we'll see how the results play out. But until then, this might be the best group that we've seen up front in the first four matchups.
No doubt about it. Predictions in just a second here on segment three, and we'll do it after I tell you about our friends over at Brightcoat. And I do this with a story about myself. Went to Cancun, got on a catamaran with a bunch of people, didn't anticipate that I was going to get in the water, got talked into it, and did not realize I had my very, very valuable fraternity ring on my finger, and it ended up in the ocean. Now, the only problem with it, I could replace it, but I had to pay for it. You don't have to do that if you go to these guys at Brightco, because they are geniuses. They make buying insurance for your engagement ring, your watch, or whatever so freaking easy. You can get it covered in 2 minutes on your cell phone. You won't find a better deal on great coverage that's super affordable. It's bright.co/lockedon. bright.dot.co/lockedon. For about $5 a month, you get totally comprehensive coverage, and it won't take you more than a couple of minutes on your phone. Check it out once again, bright.dot.co/lockedon.
All right, everybody, wrapping up. Crossover Thursday, one we only get every 4 years, taking on the AFC South Jaguars and the NFC East Philadelphia Eagles, 3-0 versus 2-1, former Super Bowl winning head coach coming back to Philadelphia. I'll start with my first prediction. He's not going to get booed. They're going to give him a standing ovation. This will be the first revenge game where they're not booing this guy. It's well-deserved, and I think at the end of this game, we're going to see two teams that are going to lead the future of the National Football League when it comes to offensive play.
If he doesn't get booed, it will be the first time somebody doesn't get booed in Philly. Santa Claus, Kobe Bryant, the late Kobe Bryant, Beyonce, all of them, everybody gets booed in Philadelphia. But I would agree. I have friends that I was actually with during the preseason. They are from Philly. We were in North Carolina. And the Hall of Fame game came on, and they saw Doug Peterson, and they looked like they wanted to cry. They said, That's our coach. And when you bring a championship to a team like that, I can understand it. I grew up in Washington. Philly was a rival. So I'll go all the way back to Vet Stadium. I understand the connection those people have to that team. And I also understand that the team, usually, when they're good, they really personify the community and what Philly's all about. But I'm going to make another prediction, and that prediction is Jaguars going to whoop y'all ass 24-16, and it's going to be 24-16, but I will agree with you, a hard-fought game. So here's the butt of my prediction. It's not like I don't look at them as this upstart team anymore. Mm-hmm. I've watched them play. I saw them practice. To me, the reason why I like them so much is because they're doing it in an old-fashioned, no-frills way. They're winning the line of scrimmage. They're winning the turnover margins. They're out tackling people. They're tackling well in space. They're keeping their quarterback upright, and they're stopping the run, and they're winning on early downs and putting you in long down and distance situations. That's just basic football, man. It ain't like, you know, a whole bunch of tricks and flea flickers and all that. No, it's just regular stuff. It's time of possession. It's protecting the football and taking the football back from your opponent. So Newt Rockne would sit there and go, that's textbook. So when it's that real and it's that tangible, and it's that by the book and professional, that's why you like the team. It doesn't seem like a fluke. So I know, you know, everyone else looks at the Jaguars as this team that's come out of nowhere. But when they're playing football the way football people, if you got Newt Rockne and you got Vince Lombardi and Chuck Knoll and all of them, put them in a huddle, the prescription that they give you is exactly what Jaguars have been doing. So that's why I think it's real.
The emotion with Doug Peterson coming back to Philadelphia is a huge factor in this game. He knows how to get his guys to play in these type of moments. It's just what he does. It's what he did in Philadelphia. And you look at what Jacksonville has done. It shouldn't be a shock. Like you said, they've gone out there, haven't turned the ball over much. They're getting turnovers. They're holding on to the rock. That's the same formula for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't see this being a high-scoring matchup. I think 24-16, that gets you to around 40 points right there. I think in the end, that's a pretty even score. I think it comes out to be a field goal game. The line right now on betonline.net is 6.5 points in favor of the Eagles. I think the Jaguars cover. I think it's close late, and I think whoever wins this game wins it with either a fourth quarter comeback drive at the end, or they win off a game-winning field goal. I could see it going 20-17 either way. Would I be mad to lose to Doug Peterson? It'll upset me a little bit, but it will be the least of my worries when it's all said and done. It's the first AFC matchup out of conference. They went 3-0 against their first three NFC opponents. If this is one game where it is a trap game, this would be the one in the grand scheme of the NFC where the Eagles could drop with the emotion, with the potential for James Robinson to do exactly what the Lions did week one in terms of running the football. If they revert back to what they did week one, I see the Jacksonville Jaguars winning this game. I can't bet against my birds until they prove me wrong right now. I think 2017 in the end, hard-fought game. I don't think either you or I on Monday when we do our reaction shows are going to be upset at the result. I think, like you said, Amp, this is going to be a hard-fought football game. Two teams that instilled similar cultures. They're coming off a few years removed from Doug, now with Nick Sirianni, who breeds the same thing. We're going to put players in a position to succeed, and we're going to do it the old-fashioned way. Hard fought, on the ground, offensive line beat up defensive line, get turnovers. That's football, man. That's what I want to see. I think it'll be a fun, hard-fought matchup. And this was good, man. I'm glad that it's every 4 years because I love Doug, but at the same time, I would love to have more conversations with you. Where can our friends find you that haven't checked out Locked On Jaguars? I had some people in my comments saying that you guys were talking some trash this week, so I wanted to
you know, that's what
out.
We do. That's what we do.
Oh, but friendly banter.
Yeah. It's all good, man. At Shop Talking Wig, as you can see right there on the screen, if you're watching on YouTube, if not, it's one word: Shop Talking Wig with two G's on Twitter. You can find me on the Locked On Jaguars Twitter page as well, and on YouTube with the Locked On Jaguars podcast. And if you're in Jacksonville, you probably find me cutting hair in a barbershop somewhere because I've been doing that for 30 years also. I got to remind people, though, get your prize picks in. Make sure you make your prize picks because that is absolutely fun. Remember, it's all about player projections and more or less. Can you look at the player and what their selections are and the projections by prize picks and then say whether or not they're going to go more or less? If you put 2 to 5 of those entries on your slip, you can win 10 times your money. So that's a very good thing. Make sure you use the promo code Locked On when you initially signed up, and they'll give you a matching bonus of up to $100. Also, I have to remind you to watch for the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, which is on our network. It is absolutely fabulous. And wherever you get your podcast, that is available. Brian Peacock is one of the best in the business, and Matt Williamson is a former NFL scout. So make sure you like and subscribe to Peacock and Williamson NFL show. All right, Gino, we're gonna cut loose, man, and we'll see what happens this Sunday. For everybody listening out there on Locked On NFL, this is Jaguars and Eagles crossover. Y'all take care of each other, and we'll see you next time.
Fly, Eagles, fly.